Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your
mind. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Bush calls the Pope a liar. Now, folks, that would have been the headlines if Bush did what Obama did recently. After meeting with the Pope, Obama's account of the meeting contradicted the Pope's account. So does Obama call the Pope a liar? You will find this headline in some independent media. Obama calls Pope a liar. But Washington Times plays it down. Lets it land softly. Quote, President Obama's first meeting with Pope Francis produced a little schism of its own. The Vatican and White House gave starkly different versions Thursday of Mr. Obama's meeting with Francis, end quote. But even that effort at a soft landing has a pretty good bounce and wobble in it, don't you think? The Pope thought the meeting went well. According to a statement from the Vatican, it, quote, focused on questions of particular relevance for the Catholic Church in the United States, such as the exercise of the rights of religious freedom, life, and conscientious objection, end quote. Obama's take on the meeting was, quote, starkly, end quote, different indeed. When asked about his meeting with the Pope, which, by the way, went well beyond the scheduled half hour, Mr. Obama said, quote, we actually didn't talk a whole lot about social schisms in my conversation with His Holiness. In fact, end quote, Obama goes on to say, quote, that really was not a topic of conversation, end quote. A typical Obama speak, you know. And when asked about whether Obama and the Pope discussed the contraceptives issue, Obama said Francis, quote, actually did not touch on detail, end quote, on the subject. Somebody check and see if that man's pants are on fire. Of course, we all know that every MSM propaganda outlet for the left would have been screaming, Reagan calls the Pope a liar. You know, if he had done this, or if Bush had done it, it would have been Bush calls the Pope a liar, you know. But the difference might also be that neither Reagan nor Bush would have been so dull-witted as to have attempted to mischaracterize a meeting with any head of state in such an obvious way. Are you yawning yet? Another Obama's a liar story. Yawn, yawn. Little eye-rolling, maybe. Obama lied. Who cares? You know, what difference does it make anyway, right? Democrats don't care if their leaders lie to them, do they? I mean, they expect it. The only people who are held accountable for lying are conservatives. They get clobbered if they're caught in a lie. They get clobbered if they say something they sincerely believe is true that turns out to appear, at least, to be untrue or not accurate. You know, where are those WMD that we were told were in Iraq? You guys are disgusting. With all the lying you put up with your people and you jump all over that, you make me sick. Finally, the Democrats have something they can say is worse than Bush's Iraq. Yeah, it's Putin's Crimea. Obama says Russia's invasion of Crimea is, quote, worse than Iraq, end quote. Really? Yeah, was he playing around with some sort of hyperbole, perhaps using sarcasm to make a point? No, he actually believes the invasion of Crimea by Russia was a greater effrontery to what? To human rights? To the integrity of national sovereignty of a foreign state? To what exactly? Think about this. Clearly, Obama thinks our invasion of Iraq was wrong, only not as wrong as Russia's invasion of Crimea. So it was right for Obama to invade Libya. Why? Because Gaddafi was a brutal dictator abusing his people and flaunting his abuses of human rights in the face of UN resolutions and NATO sanctions and so on. But invading Iraq because Saddam was a genocidal maniac who used WMD to kill his own people, abusing human rights far more egregiously than Gaddafi ever did, and flaunting his arrogance on the world scene, defying UN resolutions and sanctions of various neighboring states and us. Are you as sick as I am of this guy and the rest of that lying pack of hypocrites on the left? Crimea was worse than Iraq? What about Libya? Mr. President alleged. Good night. We didn't annex Iraq into the Soviet States of America. Anyway, that's actually a little too close to truth to be funny, isn't it? Anyway, so President alleged Obama calls on Putin to back off. Is this window dressing? Putin has been building up military presence along their border with Ukraine. He's already occupied southern Crimea, establishing a military presence in Crimea, circling Ukrainian soldiers, by the way, in some cases, who refused to surrender. And all of this supposedly to ensure that the popular election would be free of coercion. It is considered that this interference on Putin's part might have skewed the election results somewhat. You know, something President alleged Obama's voter fraud machine finds disturbing. So Obama refuses to accept the vote of the people of Crimea. Why? Because Crimea was worse than Black Panther thugs dressed in military like attire with black beret, slapping one palm of his hand with a stick held in the other, grimacing at white voters as they entered the polls. You see, folks, it's a matter of degree with this guy, you know. It's okay to intimidate voters, just don't do it to the degree that Putin did. You know, it's okay to invade Libya because Gaddafi was a human rights abusing dictator, but not Iraq. For the same reasons, because Obama was the leader in the attack on Libya and Bush was the leader in the attack on Iraq. Let's just get this straightened out, shall we? There you have it. Anyway, it's okay to use voter intimidation at polls when Obama's being elected, but it's not all right for Putin to use voter intimidation, you see, because it's a matter of degree. You understand. Of course you do. Now, you know what started all this, by the way? Since about, middle 2013, I think, Ukraine, it was coming out. The Ukraine was in some serious financial trouble. Putin offered some billions. I think it was $15 billion, something like that. I forget how many. In the neighborhood of $15 billion. And Ukraine accepted it. And they've received I think they've received as much as $3 billion of that so far. But then European interests, partly alarmed that Russia might be reasserting itself in an effort to reconstruct the old Soviet Union. Putin, by the way, has often remarked that the breakup of the Soviet Union was a disaster and that he desired to see it revived, a sentiment some politicians in our country right now cherish, interestingly enough. So the European, or the West interests, I should say here, have been encouraging Ukraine to get assistance from IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund, and a significant faction in Ukraine, also concerned about developing a dependency upon Russia and fearing they might, by that, come back under its political influence, desired to steer Ukraine toward the West. It happens that a significant number of the population of Ukraine are Russians, however, and have pro-Russian sentiment, especially in Crimea, by the way. And their connections to Russia make them suspicious of becoming subservient to Western interests. While most of the native Ukrainians and Crimean Tatars and so on are inclined to independence and are generally a little more comfortable with ties to the West than with ties to Russia. For reasons that should be obvious to anyone that's at least 40 years of age. By February 2014, the parliament ousted Ukraine's president, Viktor Yanukovych, who was pro-Russia, and replaced him with a pro-Western interim president, Alexander Tikhonov, or something like that. The Russians called this move a coup and denounced it and provided shelter for the ousted president, who, by the way, is being pursued by some in Ukraine for mass murder, which came as a result of his crackdown on protesters, trying to suppress the protests with military intervention. Shades of Tiananmen Square, anyone? What a mess. So Russia considers the current government of Ukraine to be illegitimate, while the United States considers it legitimate. Then it's all about Russia protecting her interests, already vested in that region with significant military installations along the coast of Crimea, and a long history of connections with Ukraine, of course, and U.S. supporting Western interests in the region, which mostly come down to not wanting Russia to revive the Soviet Empire. So the thought is that Putin's military buildup along Russia's border with Ukraine is preparation to take all of Ukraine, or to invade the entire country, or that he is attempting to intimidate Ukraine into backing off and letting go of Crimea. Now, so far, Russia has not officially annexed Crimea, nor has Russia actually invaded Ukraine, at least not as of Friday this week. That could change this weekend. Wow. I got to close the first segment. Beyond the consistency of Obama to be a liar and a fraud, and a pretender who's busy Sovietizing the United States while Putin is busy reviving the Soviet Empire. You know, with Obama posturing but actually doing nothing serious to stop him. By the way, do you wonder why I doubt Obama's resolve to actually interfere with Putin? And why I'm suspicious that the actions we are watching are window dressing? I'm looking at my time. It won't let me go there right now. I'm going to come back to this at the head of the next segment, but get a load of this as I conclude the first segment. Bible Thump Alert. Bible Thump Alert. All of you who are allergic to Bible reading on the radio, be forewarned. I'm about to refer to the book that strikes fear in the soul and evokes such severe loathing in some stomachs. So that both need paper sacks handy, one to breathe and two to stop hyperventilation, and the other to use as a puke. You wimps, George Washington was not afraid of the Bible. Neither were 80% or more of our founders, so many of them holding theological degrees, God-fearing men. But alas, it appears their ideological descendants have forsaken them. But what you see running the country right now really are not ideological descendants of our forefathers. Really, they're ideological descendants of Marx and Lenin. Yeah, that's actually what's going down there. But in Daniel's prophecy, you find something intriguing. Daniel 7, he outlines the development of the geopolitical seascape, if you will, as it will look in the time preceding or leading up to the end. And he saw rising up out of the sea, which is a representation of the masses, as suggested by Revelation 17:15 and elsewhere. He sees rising up out of the sea a lion with the wings of an eagle, and it has wings, its wings plucked, and it stands on its hind feet and receives the heart of a man. Then a bear rises up with three ribs in its mouth, going about to devour much flesh. And then a leopard with four heads and four wings of a fowl that does not take dominion by force, but is given dominion. And then you have a fourth beast, unlike any other, or anything representing creatures on the earth. This one tramples everything under its fierce power, devouring it with iron teeth and breaking it down with brass claws. And these 10 horns upon its head yield up from one of them that much-anticipated Antichrist. And these are explained to Daniel as Babylon, which would be Iraq and environs, represented in the lion that rises up. And then you have Iran and Russia together as the bear, Medo-Persia, possibly including China. And then the Eastern Europe is represented in the four-headed leopard. And then finally, the rest of the West powers, or Western powers, are combined in the representation of the fourth beast of terror. And it's interesting to note how often geopolitical shifts develop in this order. It's interesting. First the East, then the North, then moving westward to Eastern Europe, and finally then the West enters into play. This is a generalization, of course, but if you paid attention, while all of these are always in play, the center of a geopolitical shift, major geopolitical shift, usually begins its development and then develops in its development along this pattern. It's interesting. And we'll give you some more on that another time. But events we see developing with the bear, that's Russia, rising up on one side, are all portents of prophetic developments, even if they're not fulfillments of those prophecies. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Every corruption we see in our houses of government began in our houses of worship. Christians began departing from the founders of our faith and ignoring God's laws long before our politicians began departing from the founders of our freedom and ignoring the laws of our land. Revival must begin in the house of God with a return to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Freely you have received, freely give. We don't charge for the Brain Massage Show, but that doesn't mean we don't have to pay to air them on the radio. Many have asked if they can help. Thank you. If you'd like to join them, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Any amount is welcome. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Okay, I promised I'd offer some support for my suspicion that Obama is really not concerned so much about a revived Soviet empire. I hope I'm wrong about this, but I can tell you one thing for sure. If he is concerned about it, he's doing everything possible to inspire and encourage it. Now consider this from a recent Heritage report that I received. Obama has been maybe not so slowly, leaving Europe exposed to political unrest and destabilization. For example, the Obama administration, quote, canceled a missile defense site in Europe several years ago and has recently canceled military training with European allies as well, end quote. Why? Heritage experts note, quote, there is a general view among officials in the region that the U.S. is relegating its relations with Europe to a lower priority, end quote. Well, that puts it mildly, doesn't it? More like Europe is beginning to signal fears that the U.S. is abandoning Europe to whatever new dictator might like to come along and gobble it up. I agree with Heritage that, quote, this is the time to be assuring NATO allies that America stands with them in the face of aggressors like Putin, end quote. We might ask, what would Reagan do with Putin making these moves? I think it's pretty obvious. He would be deploying U.S. assets into the region to signal a will on our part to defend territorial integrity of NATO countries who are close to Russia. Why is Obama letting Russia dominate the regional energy supply in that area? Heritage energy and security experts point out that, quote, much of Russia's power in the region is the result of its control of energy supplies and distribution systems, end quote, in that area. Now, this means that if Russia decides that you're not a friend anymore, well, she could cause some serious disruption in the flow of energy. Now, we could make the surrounding countries independent of Russia if only Washington would lift the barriers on oil export and exploration and so on. Quote, our country could export crude oil and natural gas, which would help relieve the pressure on Russia's neighbors, end quote. Why wouldn't that be something we would do right now in light of Putin's actions? Obviously, getting more energy into the global market from diverse sources, quote, would diminish the ability of any nation, including Russia, to use energy as a weapon to impose its will in the future, end quote. And what is with Obama's passion for reducing American defense capabilities? What does Putin's recent aggressive move suggest to us? Well, my friends, it screams that this is a very bad time to be reducing America's defense capabilities. That this is a bad time to be reducing America's nuclear capabilities, both of which Obama is busy doing? I mean, it's hard for me to believe that he's serious about his mock concerns over Russia's recent aggressions in Ukraine in view of these facts. At a time when we should be sending clear signals of strength and resolve that go way past words, but with real actions. You know, because Obama's words send one message, while his actions contradict them. At a time when the United States needs to send reassuring signals to all of our allies, and really to all freedom-loving people everywhere. As Heritage expert Michaela Dodge says, quote, the U.S. is projecting weakness by reducing its own arsenal, while Russia builds up its forces, end quote. My friends, it is absurd that, quote, the U.S. remains the only nuclear weapon state that is not modernizing its nuclear forces, end quote. Hope you're listening. As Dodge points out, and as Heritage points out, quote, it certainly doesn't make sense in the current environment, end quote. Now, does it? Is Obama simply in over his head and he's paralyzed by all of this and he can't act? Does his inaction and equivocating and so on, does it signal incompetence or intrigue? Frankly, I don't know. But whether his actions are by design and motivated by an interest in seeing the Soviet Empire reasserted on the world scene and moving us all back into a Cold War footing with Russia, as, by the way, some of the left have actually indicated that they think is a good idea, Clinton among them, or if it's just another amateur hour from this White House. In either case, his actions are perfectly suited to that end. Obama's behavior is at the root of what's developing right now in Russia, you can bet on that, and in China, by the way. While China and Russia are building up their weapons arsenals and expanding their military capabilities, I mean, as if they're anticipating Armageddon, you have Obama lowering our defenses and sending a clear message to aggressors around the world that America cannot be dependent upon. You know, even Israel is beginning to look elsewhere for succor. Did you know that 70% of Israelis no longer trust the U.S. to protect them? That's right. In a recent poll, the leadership is very careful over there in their public announcements, of course. But the scuttlebutt, it is felt by them that Obama does not like Israel. Do you remember when Biden was over there visiting Netanyahu? And while he was there, a story got out in Israel saying that building permits were going to be approved for Jews to build. That was not for an area that was under a contest by the Palestinians or that was part of some kind of a deal Israel had made with them or was planning to make with them. Nevertheless, Biden took this as an offense, and he supposed that Israel's purpose was to embarrass him with the Palestinians. Anyway, the Obama White House went ballistic, and I mean over the top. And this is the president who spoke of the Iranian massacre of protesters in soft, carefully worded diplomatic terms intending to quiet down everyone's concern over what was going on in that Muslim country. Well, Obama went, according to reports, livid, that's the word they used, and directed severe denunciations against Israel, punishing them in other ways, using the strongest rhetorical condemnation that stronger than anything he's used against any other country for grievous atrocities. He turns it, however, against our friend Israel for this political mistake. And we wonder why Israelis are suspicious that maybe Obama does not like Israel. And here's the point. Obama is the perfect president for America today. Does that surprise you? Does that seem to come out of the blue? I don't believe that he is God's choice servant to lead our country. But neither was Romney, by the way. I'm convinced that Obama is a token of God's judgment upon this nation for having turned its back on him. Obama treats our laws the same way most of you treat God's laws. So why shouldn't you have a president like this? I mean, those of you who voted for him are just like him, or very much like him. Michelle Malkin put together a list of, the rise of the Democrat devils that are swarming the country like so many flies. And the word for fly, I think it's Beelzebub or something like that. It's like a Ghostbusters movie with Democrats coming out into the open and buzzing all over the land and being exposed as the devils that they are. Quote, the Dirty Democratic Mayor's Club, Charlotte, North Carolina, Mayor Patrick Kennan, who bragged about partying with the Obamas to help grease the wheels for city projects. Well, he was arrested this week on federal corruption and influence peddling charges. And he's accused of accepting gobs of cash payoffs and Las Vegas trips. And this bust follows another, quote, former New Orleans mayor, Ray Nagin's conviction in January on corruption charges, and former Trenton mayor Tony Mack's February conviction on cash bribes for a downtown parking garage, and former San Diego mayor, serial groper Bob Filner's disgraceful resignation after conviction on sexual harassment-related charges, together with former Detroit mayor Kwame Kilpatrick's conviction on extortion, bribery, and conspiracy charges, and former Birmingham, Alabama mayor Larry Langford's corruption and bribery conviction. Democrats all, by the way. And here you go. Let's not leave California out of this. Quote, California State Democratic Senator Leyland Yee, a gun grabber by day, alleged arms trafficking gangster by night. Yee made a decades-long career out of sanctimoniously demonizing gun owners and railing against the Second Amendment. He was arrested this week on corruption charges after an FBI sting found probable cause to believe Yee had conducted wire fraud and engaged in a conspiracy to deal firearms without a license and illegally import firearms. The Chinatown politician went on to discuss, quote, details of the specific types of weapons, end quote, with a prospective donor. And by the way, Yee is currently a candidate for California Secretary of State office. And now to Pennsylvania, that state Democratic Senator Leanna Washington, party animal. This week, a judge ruled that the Keystone State could proceed with a trial against Washington, who's charged with felony theft of services and felony conflict of interest. More than a half dozen former employees blew the whistle, and here's how she responded to them for doing so. Quote, I am the expletive senator, end quote, she screamed at one staffer who objected. Quote, I do what the expletive I want, and ain't nobody going to change me, end quote. That's the kind of political leaders we get when we turn from God. We get little demigods, you know, who go around acting like their God. Quote, Rhode Island State Democratic House Speaker Gordon Fox, beloved by the left for his gay marriage activism, announced last weekend that he is stepping down from office after FBI raids on his home and work office, end quote. Why? Well, because, quote, Fox is the target of several criminal investigations by the U.S. Attorney's Office, FBI, IRS, and state police. And, by the way, mum's the word so far on the nature of the alleged criminal activity involved, end quote. Okay, back to our fair golden state, quote, California State Democratic Senator Ronald Calderon is on a paid leave of absence after being hit with a 24-count federal indictment for bribery and corruption. His brother also was charged with multiple counts of money laundering and influence peddling. Prosecutors allege the legislator accepted nearly $100,000 in bribes, plane trips, gourmet meals, and golf games in exchange for political favors. He also is accused of paying his daughter $39,000 for a phony office job and paying $40,000 in, quote, consulting, end quote, fees for a campaign website that didn't exist, end quote. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, back to California. Quote, California State Democratic Senator Roderick Wright is also on paid leave. The entrenched Los Angeles area politician is now fighting his January conviction of felony perjury, false declaration of candidacy, and fraudulent voting charges. Wright claimed to live in a rented room in an Inglewood home within his district, but the jury found his true residence was outside the district in upscale Baldwin Hills. The jury found he lied on candidacy declarations and voter registration documents and fraudulently voted in 5 elections. End quote. And let's not leave out the Democratic bastion Big Apple. Quote, New York State Democratic Assemblyman Bill Scarborough, shady jet setter. The FBI and state authorities raided his home and offices as part of a probe into his travel voucher practices. He blamed a tabloid hit job by the New York Post over questionable per diem claims totaling $60,000. End quote. And then, quote, Illinois State Democratic House Representative Keith Farnham, child porn probe suspect. And this guy, after sponsoring 2 bills to increase penalties for child porn possession, Farnham was the subject of state and federal raids last week on his home for possession of child porn. Over the weekend, he resigned his seat, citing, quote, serious health issues, end quote. Michelle Malkin reminds us that, quote, Nancy Pelosi famously promised to drain the moral swamp and end the culture of corruption, right? She casts herself and her minions as America's political cleanup crew. But once again, the culture of corruption boomerang has swung back around to smack the Democrats right in their smug mugs. The cynical swamp drainers just hope you forget it all by election time. And Malkin exhorts us, don't. And by the way, Michelle in this article also wisely warns us all that this all of this coming out at once, at this time, not likely a coincidence. The Dems are no doubt attempting to clear the scandals out of their way, anticipating a very difficult battle in November. And she warns that it just may be the plan to unleash a similar plethora of allegations and charges against GOP politicians just late enough in the game to make it impossible to address them or to forget about them when the ballots are taken. You think that might be true? We both know there are as many corrupt politicians on the right as there are on the left, and that the only difference is that those of us on the right actually care. What do you want to bet? Virtually every one of these yahoos that I named here could be reelected to office if they run again, or that they'll show up somewhere else down the road in office. You see, you get the leadership you deserve. You serve the Lord and submit yourselves to his righteousness, or you'll be given over to the services of devils who will oppress you and distress you with their unlawful deeds. There is one word that, if acted on, would do more to clean up this mess than any other single thing you can do, and that word is repent. Is that too preachy for you? Oh, you'd rather hear the preachy rants of Bill Maher or Obama's preaching rants. You know, and everybody loving whoever they want. Or Michelle on eating healthy, or those dumb kids who won't sign up for Obamacare. Or Obama scolding those who fail to sign up for Obamacare, or scolding businesses for daring to make a profit, by the way. How about that one? Don't give me your don't preach to me line. You just don't like what I preach here. How about a little Baptist blast from the past? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. You say lights on if you see the lights are on. You'll ride like Revere and spread the warning. It essentially means you agree with what I'm saying. Or you say lights off, which means you reject what I'm saying, disagree with me. Call 1-888-770-8000. Lights on or lights off. Either way, give me a call. And leave me a message. I'd love to hear from my listeners. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States, from outside the country, or those who prefer it. You can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com, thebrainmassageshow.com. And by the way, I want to thank from the bottom of my heart all of you who have written in and called in over the years, and over this past year especially, those of you who've called in or written in and provided some donations that are much needed to help us keep this show on the road. All right? If you're in a hurry, you can give me a lights on or lights off and then just hang up. Or go to the website, www.thebrainmassageshow.com, click lights on, lights off, and send. But in any event, we'd love to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Every corruption we see in our houses of government began in our houses of worship. Christians began departing from the founders of our faith and ignoring God's laws long before our politicians began departing from the founders of our freedom and ignoring the laws of our land. Revival must begin in the house of God with a return to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.